We'll do some introductions in a minute, but I just want to start with reading from the theme for this year, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And we really need to continue with 18. All of this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask your blessing on this hour. Help us to see more clearly, to understand more deeply, and to be more excited, enthusiastic about living and giving our lives to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Some introductory things first. You can read about my own history on the sign out there, the kiosk. But it would be helpful to give some ideas about signing during the class. If you have some questions, and I will welcome that from you for some very open discussion this morning, it would be helpful if you could put your hands up first, and then I will point, and then I will interpret for you, and then I will reverse interpret for Beth, so that everyone can understand what's happening. I ask your patience with my signs. You know, it's been a long time since I have signed full time, and a long time ago in a class. My brain is still thinking English, and I'm going to have to change to think sign language. So I hope if I'm signing the wrong sign, stop. And you know, let me know. And so we will work on that. Let's see, what else? Well, okay. I have decided to take up the theme for this year, and especially from the book, one of the two. We have two books for the summer's theme, and I chose this one, Jesus, A New Vision. Borg is the author. Very interesting, and we will use that not very much today, but really tomorrow and as we go on through Thursday and Friday. I guess Friday and Saturday is where Thursday will be off. But that will be kind of the basis for what we will do, and I recommend the book. From the article they had, that's to this one, and then I think it's called Thinking the Faith by Hall, I think is the other one. So that's helpful. Well, the theme, let's start with a couple things. I don't know. Yeah, get some of this stuff out of the way here. I don't know what thinking went into the theme from those, that group of people that set it up, but I like it very much. Three individual words, and we will use all of them a little bit this week. Whole means total, and we're gonna discuss that a little bit today, about that it's really completely new, and so we'll pick up that one a little bit. New if you have that something is new, that means really what? If it's new, it implies old. think about that a little bit, I think we can understand both of those words, new and old, two different ways each. One way for new is the way that God intended. One way for old is the way God intended. The other for new is the way we think about new sometimes that's not His way, and one for old that is not God's way. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's just do it a little bit right now. We will study just very quickly some of the Old Testament themes, especially the covenants today. That's what we'll take up, so we can see that God has not really changed. He's still working the same way, even in the Old Testament. And that's the reason we have to understand new and old the way we misunderstand them. Okay. So God's new. And we're just going to continue on from there. We'll study that a little bit later on. How do we understand the word new? Sometimes, I'll just kind of open it up for you to think about that. What's the way that we use new? I'll give you, go ahead.
Usually in the sense of brand new, like we just got a brand new car, because the old one was already 2 years old and it was just getting ancient.
Yeah. So we'll say immediate past. Where's my eraser here? Or not immediate past, immediate, how can we put that down? How can we write that? Well, we'll just leave it at immediate. Because as you say, 2 years for some things is old, right? Maybe another way we use the word new is, go ahead. It could mean different. Okay. New is different. Maybe almost the same, we'll see if you agree, new and improved for advertising, right?
So that new means better.
Yeah. He said new means better. Other ideas about new. Change. Okay? Many of those are similar, and that's all right. Okay. Now, God's old, His old, it's interesting, we could really take this and put it here. For us, this is old, right? But for the people living at this time, it was new. That's the only thing they knew about God. He was showing Himself to us slowly. His revelation happened more and more and more through the scriptures and in other ways. So this could just be transferred here. His old was written, and that's really the title for today. When the old was new. Our old. those stories, for us, for it's all old stories. But for those people living at that time, it was new. He's not changed the way that he works. Still the same. Okay? Now, old. How do we understand the word old? Many.
Dated.
Outdated. Okay? Gray hair?
Aged, I guess, anything.
Yeah. The same for new. You know, when you said 2 years for a car, for some people, that's old. For old, it depends on if you are yourself 65. You know, someone who's 80, 65, pretty young, right? Sometimes people see old as valuable. Like, spell that again. Antiques.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I keep losing my chalk, right here. That has then the flip side, even with the same word. To be antiquated means to be just, you know, passé.
Different ways that we can understand those two words, old and new. We're going to need to invent a sign today, Beth, for folk wisdom. We'll use this a fair bit this week. We will use this a lot this week. Things that things that people understand, but most people accept and understand. We will make a list of that later on today. It's connected with our understanding about old and new, and we'll see that a little bit. We'll try to understand how the people living when Jesus was alive understood those words, especially this. What was true for all of the people? What did they accept as the way of life? How did things work? And we'll see that just a little bit later on this morning. So we're gonna kind of play a little bit with new and old, and try to understand how we ourselves sometimes misunderstand and mix up our way with God's way for new and for old. And Borg will help us a little bit to do that. Any questions or comments about this so far? One word I want to add as I look down. I don't know what sign to use for that. Change is not the best, I don't think. We'll accept that for now. Transform. Okay? When God talks about new, it really means transform. We can see that in the verse from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old, there's our word, the old passed away, the new has come. Not just improved, that's not a good enough word. Changed, transformed, complete, and there's our word here, whole new world. Now, last one here, world. We're going to talk about that a little bit through all of this week. It's good for us to include this word. Holden Village does that all the time, thinking about how our faith affects our living every day. But for many people, including us, you know, all of us here, we have to work hard to keep thinking about connecting faith and actions. And I think about this every Sunday that we do the creed. Doesn't matter which one. What happens between we say, if I remember, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered. What happened to His life? You know. Now, I know that the creeds were set up for some specific reasons, and I'm not complaining about that, but when we confess that, we have missed all of the things that are important about His life. How did Jesus live in the world? And when, find 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. There's other places you can go for the same idea, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Is a good place for us. I will read that. For to you has been... Wait a minute, I better sit down so I can read it. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in His steps. That word, example, is it's hippograms. You know, in school, when you have a paper for practicing your letters, your writing, A, top line is all A. Perfect A's. Your work is to practice your A's. When you're starting, it's not very good, but you continue and you improve, you become better at doing A's, then B's, then C. That's what this word means. He's given us that top line. He's shown us what He wants. Now, our work in the world, practice. To use His power, the last day of this week we'll talk about the Spirit as really the source for the power. To use the Spirit to do in the world what He's given us for example. So, questions, comments? Okay, I'm going to scratch this out and give myself some more room. Question for now, few minutes. How does God work? How did He work in the Old Testament? First, we're not going to study for very long, but one word will continue to pop up even in the Old Testament. Many times people think, well, Old Testament, that's about law. New Testament, that's about gospel. Really, the first story is about grace. God gifted the world, the people, the animals, the tree, everything, gift. So the beginning story is about grace. Then in Genesis chapter 2 through 11, continues with really four stories. And it's kind of like a cycle. Starts with chapter 1 is a creation story. Chapter 2 is a creation story. But chapter 2 is connected more with 2 through 11, kind of as a unit. Okay? So starts with creation, give. Second story, really the first negative story, what happens next? Cain and Abel. In that story of Cain and Abel, we have punishment, right? Judgment. But what happens at the end of that story? Does it end with a judgment?
Grace.
What grace?
Well, he doesn't kill
Cain.
You know, he gives them a mark, and then he sends them off.
Oops, I'm going to back up a little bit. I should put this in. Sin, judgment, grace. Okay? So sin is when he kills his brother. Judgment, he is sent off, true or judgment, but the grace is, you know, Cain says, if anyone sees me, they will kill me. And so the Lord gave him that new sign, cross, a sign on his forehead, I think, right? I remember. So sin, judgment, grace. Second story. What's the next story? Cain, then next. Not yet Abraham. Noah. I missed the first one. It's Adam and Eve, right? I mean, we need to have that one in there. And that's the same exact same thing. Sin, judgment, and we think about Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 as a word of grace. Okay? Now, the next one is, Noah. Sin, and it was spreading at that time all over the place. Judgment, what? Flood, grace.
Noah.
It's Noah himself. Okay. The last story.
Tower
of Babel. Sin, the people's pride, building it up. Judgment. What happens? Languages. Division? Grace? Where's the grace in that story? Well, God did not destroy the people, that's right.
It's the whole rest of Genesis.
It's exactly right. The next story is Abraham. That's the grace. Okay? And in your hands, find chapter 1 through 11 of Genesis. And hold that.
Now there.
Okay. Now, in your left hand, hold those. In your right hand, hold all of the last of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 12 through to the last book. Malachi. Hold those two. Okay, and that's what you get. Right? Okay. Everything that the scriptures wants us to know about history before Abraham, 11 chapters, that's it. Everything God wants us to know about the Jewish people starts with chapter 12, and the whole rest of the Old Testament is all focused on the Jewish people. That's really the focus of what the Old Testament wants us to learn. But we see already, way back in Genesis, we have grace. God works in grace. Gift. Now, let's think for a little bit, how do we make agreements today? What are the different ways that we show that, for example, the two of us have already made an agreement? How do we show that today, 1992? What are the different ways? Show that the two of us have made an agreement. How do we track? Okay. Maybe we ask a lawyer to help us draw a paper contract. Other ways?
Handshake?
Well, there's a more subtle one. I thought first you just meant you and her. You've made an agreement with what all these signs mean.
So language, maybe language itself is...
at least it's a consensus.
Consensus about what the meanings for the words. English, same way. It happens through time that you set up different symbols for meanings. Okay? We'll stick that in. Language itself is an agreement.
Sure.
What else? Language includes body language. All of those, like a wink or a nod or something to show that you agree. Oh, okay, I'm going to include that as a different one. A nod or a wink is a sign for agreement. Okay? Yeah. What else?
Money.
Ways that we show agreements.
Well, exchanging of money.
So, you mean like a payment?
Yeah.
A payment? Okay. That could be included up here in a contract. You could pay for a house, whatever. Okay. Payment. I'm thinking, for example, marriage. You give a ring. Okay. Yeah.
Or even more important probably than the ring in marriage is the promise. Between the two parties.
Spoken word again, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess I keep putting it here.
By Tuesday you'll know where it is.
Yeah. Okay, spoken word.
To stand together or say a mountain climbing team, the rope that ties the team together.
As an agreement, okay?
It's an actual placing oneself together.
Okay? Think way, way back when you were kids. I think most of us have at least heard this sentence. Maybe we have not used it, but what did you say when you were a kid and you wanted to make an agreement with your friend? And you really wanted to mean it deep. Blood? Yeah. How'd you do that? Never did. I never did that myself, but go ahead.
You stick your fingers and rub them together.
Poke, and then you put your blood together. Okay?
Cross my heart, hope to die.
Hey, there's the one. Cross my heart, hope to die. Okay? going to stop there. Many, many different ways.
Smart.
But that's the one that I was kind of looking for because of what's going to happen in a few minutes in, actually not there, it's in Genesis 15. Genesis 15, this sentence will become very meaningful for us. We understand how kids use that. They don't really mean it. I mean, they're just kind of playing with each other. Abraham serving. Oh, that's another way to make an agreement in the Old Testament. Abraham and his servant, they would put it in the groin area. That's the place that they would put their hands. Okay, and that was a way to make an agreement. Strange for us, but common. Common for those people.
You say. I wonder if you know that the word testimony comes from testes, from that very ancient habit.
Being very vulnerable to each other.
You betcha. You're really, you know, exposed totally.
Yeah, true. And that's a very good example of one way of making an agreement. You really exposed yourself to the other person. What about circumcision? That was an outward sign of an agreement made, God and the people. Okay. Now, we have many, many ways that you and I know we have made an agreement. 1992. When you read the Old Testament, if you don't know, for example, this and this, if you don't know what's happening, you miss some of the very deep meaning in the story. So right now, find Genesis chapter 15. Verse 7 to start with. Verse 7. Okay. And he said to him, that's Abraham. God said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land for yours. But Abraham said, O Lord God, how am I to know I will possess it? That's an important question. What happens very quickly after that, they get some animals, they cut them in half, they lay the halves out, so the animals, what do they have? They have a pigeon, a cow, a goat, a turtle dove, and two birds. Okay? So he cuts them in half and lays them out. And then verse 12, okay? Verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and lo, darkness fell upon him. The Lord said to Abraham, know that you and your descendants will be travelers in a land, etc., etc., etc. Talking about there are going to be slaves in Egypt, okay? Now, verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed through those pieces of the animals. Okay, it goes through. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I give the land, etc. What's happening, and you can find this later on in, if I have this written down, Jeremiah 34, you find some verses that talk about cutting these animals in half and laying them out and then walking through. What you really were saying, what happens to these animals, let that happen to me if I break my agreement with you. Cross my heart, That's the word, hope to die. That's the important word in that one. Okay? Same idea. Who walked through those animals? God. With fire. Symbols for God went through. Abraham himself? Sleeping. He's dreaming, yeah. Okay? So God himself walks through. God has made gift again, an agreement with Abraham. He's going to give this land. Chapter 12 really is about the land, the offspring, and the blessing to the nations. But it pops up here that you see the real agreement is made by God himself going through. Okay? Now, we're going to jump. Well, questions first about this. I remember my mother said, told me, don't say that, cross my heart and hope to die, because it was not Christian. Yeah. Connected with the Old Testament. Well, this is really, when kids or adults say that today, it's a silly sentence. I mean, we're just kind of playing, and it's more flip than anything. But that idea is what's happening up here.
You gave us hypogramma earlier on, so that makes me sassy enough to say the Hebrew word here for making a covenant is literally to cut a covenant. And that's the standard word throughout the Old Testament for making a covenant. So it's cut a covenant, cut a covenant, cut a covenant. And it goes back to this primordial image.
Hippogramma, she wants me to write that one. Spell that very well. Here it is, right here.
Yeah. You've got the hippogramma of it there, you just got to write it nice.
That's right, yeah. Now, do you know the word for. I don't know the. But there's. This means, example. There's another word, Jewish word, that means cut. Covenant. Covenant, okay? Don't know what that word is right now. Okay? Now, I want to jump ahead a little bit. Exodus 20. I don't know if you have been exposed to these ideas before. I have been working since DeafWork in Portland with material called Crossways from Wendt. He's the writer for that. And that's the first place that I was exposed to those ideas about covenant. There are two kinds of covenants in the Old Testament. We have just finished seeing in Genesis 15 the first one. God just simply gives. That's it. No requirements, no waiting for us to do something first. He just gives. Other examples of that. Can you think of any? God just gives.
Well, Noah is one. 2 Samuel 7
Noah.
Is one.
David, 2 Samuel is about David. He gives him a family line. Okay? So there are other examples of divine commitment. Okay? Second kind now is chapter 20. And these are really the parts right here. Six parts for that covenant. They have found, it's called read my writing?
Cross your second guarantee.
There we go.
Make the H a capital.
Yeah, there we go. Hit that.
There you go.
Okay. Those people were found in the Old Testament. We see that many, many times. They had a form for making agreement. Same as we had this long list here, contracts, etc. They had one. It had six parts. Introduction, history, laws, reading, keeping it, five witnesses, six blessings and curses. We find all six of those in both Old Testament and New Testament. Not all six in one place, but you can find all six of those parts popping up regularly in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we'll see. First example, find Exodus chapter 20. Are you saying that the Jewish people borrowed from the Hittites? The Hittite culture and borrowed, yeah. They borrowed that form and used that really it's God who borrowed. God used something that they knew, that's right, that they were familiar with. Okay, let's find this now. Exodus chapter 20. First, really, three verses are enough. Verse 1, and God spoke all of these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. Introduction. Who's talking? God himself. Goes on. Who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage? History. What's next? You will have no other gods. Ten Commandments. Just list them off. Okay? If we keep this understanding of covenant, especially Ten Commandments, it will help us avoid misunderstanding how God uses the Ten Commandments. They're not first. God had already set up, he is already our God. Done. He's already freed the people from Egypt. Implied, he's going to continue to work with the people. Now, he's showing us what he wants us to do to be his people. This, Ten Commandments and other laws, that's the way his people live. Okay? And then reading, this was really a problem for the people. They did not read it and keep it and read it and keep it. Especially the rereading, reading it again. We find much later on one of the kings, Josiah, his workers found one of the books sort of buried in the temple storerooms, and they said, oh, we better read this again. So they did not do a very good job of reading that again. Witnesses is just simply when you make an agreement, you have witnesses. And then blessings and curses is important because God is serious about what he's doing. He means what he says. The best place to go is in Deuteronomy. I'll just read a quick verse for you from that. Chapter 27 and 28. Chapter 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man who makes an image, etc., etc. 16. Cursed. 17. Cursed. 18. Cursed. all of those long lists. Now let's jump over chapter 28, verse 1 and following. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, the Lord will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All of these blessings will come. Okay, so blessings and curse. God expects us, and we need a stronger sign for that. Not hope. Expects us to obey. Okay, but starts with grace. Gift. Now, well, questions, comments.
You want us apparently to understand that in both cases, covenant number one and number two starts with gift, grace. I'm going to make a point of the fact that the second one, though, surely has something very important and different about it, and that is that the human obligation, if we don't do it, wrecks it. At least the curse sure sounds like, no, that's a covenant that's been destroyed.
Exactly right. And that's why blessings and curses. New Testament. Think about Matthew chapter 25. It's all those stories about the last day, separating the sheep and the goats, right hand, left hand. What does he say? Welcome, you blessed, there's the word, blessed of my Father. You visited me, you clothed me, you, etc. On the left, what does he say? Depart from me, you cursed. You did not clothe, you did not, etc. Okay? So, very important, you bet. And that's why we have to. See, and now we're going to jump to the prophets. People in the Old Testament liked very much to look back to Genesis and say, oh, Lord, remember your promise to Abraham. They kind of ignored Exodus 20. But the prophets reminded them about Exodus 20. That's one of the most important things that the prophets did. Was to not tell about far in the future, but tell about immediate future. Remember, you said you agreed to do all of that. You're not doing that now. Happen curses if you do not change what you're doing. Okay? That continues in the New Testament. Many, many different places that you can go. A new commandment I give to you, etc. Okay. I think that many people are wrong focus on the curse part. They say, "Oh, God is terrible. He's a judge." They miss all of the grace and that God has given. That's right. There are two ways of misunderstanding this. You ignore three and you say, "Oh, God." He's going to continue giving, it doesn't matter what we do. Or you can ignore the history and focus on the laws and say, God is a terrible person. Have to include all six of these to have the full story. Now, a few minutes left. I want to start in... Popular wisdom. Right now, I want us to make a list of what our culture America, U.S., sign for that? America. Oh, this is German. not German. American. American culture has that most people accept. There's always some exceptions to every rule. I know that. But what kinds of things do most Americans accept as the way things work? I'll give you an example for starting. I think we agree with this in our culture, right?
We used to.
Well, yeah, we used to. Maybe not now anymore.
If you're not Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
It's all exactly the opposite.
Other popular wisdom ideas that most people accept in our culture.
Bigger is better.
Bigger is better. A penny saved is a penny earned.
Those who die with the most toys win.
He said, the person who dies with the most toys wins.
More is better.
People do not want their problems.
Say again?
People do not want their problems.
You mean their own problems?
That's right. We believe that people don't want their problems.
More is better. How about different groupings? I think our culture accepts the fact, and maybe it's not a fact, but we call it a fact, that some people are better than others, right?
If I don't have more this year than I had last year, I'm a failure.
Okay. We'll shorten that up. I have to be better than before.
Yes.
Okay.
I have to have more.
Have more.
Yeah,
have
more.
Have more. I have to have more than before.
America, right or wrong?
One more here. Go ahead. Accumulation, accumulating of the new. Okay.
So whoever has the most new toys with.
Yeah. It's new. Do you have one?
America, right or wrong?
America, right or wrong. Yeah.
And like George Bush said, I mean, no matter what it takes, I'm going to win. Winning is everything.
Yeah. Winning is everything.
Cool.
Boy.
The flip side of which is good guys finish last.
Yes.
Yes.
Must pull up by my bootstraps. Individualism.
Yeah, individual rather than community, than community. Very much individualistic in here. Many more. One more.
This is a pet one of mine. We think that dominion means dominance and destruction. really means to provide a home for it.
Yeah, misunderstanding dominion. Now, we're going to stop here for now. We'll suspend. We're going to pick this up tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow is we're going to take a look at the popular wisdom for the Jewish people when Jesus came. What did they have for ideas about how things worked? Some of them are going to be very similar. Some of them maybe will be different. And then we'll look at what Jesus, we'll start with what Jesus was like himself. And how did he connect with their understanding about popular wisdom. Okay?